From the News Talk STL studios in St. Louis, it's the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. On tonight's episode, we break down the Iowa caucus with political savant Rich Rubino. And then spiritual leader Mike Farmer talks about why religion in the public space is such a lightning rod. And the Right Mind studio band Mitch Murphy and the Murphy Tones. Now, putting the fun in your dysfunctional world, here's your host, Todd Showalter.
Oh, Joey, you're not going to believe. I came in here, okay, what, about 25 minutes ago? Mm-hmm. I always stop by the restroom just, you know, to kind of get business out of the way beforehand. And by the way, it still says wash your hands for 20 seconds. And I always do like 22 seconds to be safe. But that's not the point. So I'm in there, you know, getting ready for the show. And Larry Connors comes.
The Larry Connors?
He comes busting into the restroom. And I thought, what's going on? What's the matter? What's the clatter? And he says, you're missing the meeting. And I go, what meeting? And he goes, the meeting. And we're all in there having a staff meeting. And I didn't know anything about it. I don't think I was invited because I know I usually don't attend those types of things. So what just happened just now? I walk in here and there you all are having this
top secret,
horribly boring staff meeting, and it made me realize why I don't go to staff meetings, because it was like PTSD, like Andy has. It brought back these terrible memories that couldn't have you done this thing in an email.
You know what makes it easier?
No.
Pizza. Pizza helps out with the PTSD.
Right.
And that's
right.
Why we all came. We showed up for the food.
Oh, I see.
And then the chewing blocks out the noise of the boss talking. But
oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, but everybody was here. I mean, it was like something, you know, they say like when you die, you meet all these people. Well, it was like that. I mean, everybody I've ever met from the station was in this room. And I went up to Michelle and she's very nice. She's like mm-hmm. the team mom. And I said, was I supposed to be here? And she said, no, of course not.
It's kind of like an intervention, but no one actually cares that you're there. You're
exactly.
just standing watching your own funeral, maybe, and they're just talking trash about you. Was that what Huckleberry Finn was about, Tom Sawyer?
Maybe. I don't know. I think I read the Spanish version of that. But she said I didn't have to be. Well, and that's just it, because I didn't have to be here. They weren't talking about me. They weren't even mentioning me. In fact, I think a few times Tony looked at me and he just quickly looked away.
He gave the little slice across the neck to you, you're next. And then he realized
he
you're not
here?
An employee,
what's
technically.
What's he doing here? Yeah, we just have him around for like, you know, comic toxic relief or something. I don't know. Guess what, though? I got big news. I got really big news. Now, a lot of people know it's an election season, okay? And it is. Believe me, you're shaking mm-hmm. your head. No, seriously, I wouldn't lie about that. And so I had this big platform for when I eventually announced that I'm going to run. And I may do that next week and maybe in 4 or 5 years. I don't know. But my platform originally was to get rid of daylight savings time and mm-hmm. I want to fly around in a giant airplane for free. Okay. I thought that was noble and also get the giant pension. Okay. Now I've got a brand new one. Okay. This January, it's been cold. It's been horrible. I'm already tired of it. So here it is. We are going to add, and let me know what you think about this. I want your honest, objective opinion. We add 3 days to all the other months, February through December, and then we just get rid of January.
I think that could work because, like we said before, January is the worst month, the coldest month,
right.
The least amount of light. And if we just trick ourselves into not having it, it could work. It's like what I do with my savings and my checking account.
Right.
I take all the money out of my checking, put it into my savings where I can't see it, and then I think I'm poor again. And then I go back to buying ramen and beans.
Well, that's a wonderful idea. It's kind of the same thing, only totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we get just – and we'll come back to that because I'm not trying to like, you know – you kind of changed the subject, and that reminded me of something else, and I had to stay focused here because the whole Larry Connors thing in the bathroom. Anyway, I was a little flummoxed. Is that the word I use?
Yeah, I can't remember how to spell it because we never actually have seen it printed off.
No, I know. I kind of invented that word. But anyway, so we just get rid of January. Goodbye. It's gone. And my wife I brought her up, didn't I? She said, well, what about people who have birthdays in January? And I thought, well, it's depressing enough, isn't it, that right after Christmas you have a birthday and you don't get any presents? So we just get rid of the whole thing altogether. That's my idea.
People who end up with a February 33rd birthday are going to be the most coveted birthdays in the history of the world.
Maybe. Well, you're also a lot younger because you only have a birthday once every 4 years. So technically, you're only a quarter of who people say you are. Does that make any sense?
It makes perfect sense, and I know that when I vote for you, and it's not a throwaway vote at all, when I vote for you, it's going to go towards this cause, and then maybe I'll get a ride on the airplane, and we'll go to Florida together. for
maybe,
free.
Maybe, possibly. You never know. You never know. Yeah.
You have the website already, so we're halfway there, right?
I have the website. That's right. I have to like kind of work on it because like it's votetodd.org.
Don't go there yet. It's not ready.
Yet. It hasn't actually been updated because I think I'm still running with the party doll. See, in the past, I was running with Trixie the party doll, and my whole slogan was, you know, can he do any worse? Okay, which is pretty much the same right now, but I don't know. I haven't really updated it yet, but I will.
She has her mouth open all the time because she's always excited to hear what Todd has to say. He's got great ideas, this party doll.
That's right. That's
a great
right.
listener.
And she won't shut her mouth either, but mm-hmm. she doesn't say anything. She just like kind of floats around my studio with her mouth open. It kind of scares some people when they come in.
Not a waste of helium at all. I don't care what they say about we running out.
Todd, do you know that you have a naked party doll floating around your studio? Why, as a matter of fact, I did. That's Trixie.
That's the good little angel on my shoulder telling me that everything I do is a good idea.
That's right. Yeah, something like that. You're not going to believe what happened to me. Remember last week when Dame Karen, the diva actress, was in here and her husband, the landscaper?
Yeah, actress Karen Drewley, one of our greatest
babe,
new friends.
Yeah. Oh, she wanted me to mention that movie, Casually Not Dating or whatever it is, it's on YouTube. Okay, there I did it. Anyway, I ran into her
mm-hmm.
at the Elks Club. You know why? Because she wanted to know if she could come. And so we invited him out. And the only reason I bring this up is because she's about to be a grandmother. Can you believe that? She's going to be a grandmother.
I don't even know how that's possible.
It's not, because I think she's only like 20-something
years old. She's so young and vibrant.
She is. Well, yeah, right. And so here's the reason I'm bringing this whole story up, is because they're one of the few. I asked. I said, well, do you know if it's going to be a boy or a girl, meaning the child that's going to be the grandchild?
Mm-hmm.
Not her. She knows. She's not one of these people that like switches her identity. She knows that she's a woman. And so I was talking about the potential. Well, no, not potential. It's going to happen. This grandchild, is it a boy or a girl? And they're one of the only people I know. She said her daughter and her husband, they have not found out what the gender is yet. Isn't that just one of those things you have to do right away?
How can you prepare for anything?
I mean, you
have to buy them the right toys, the right clothes, I assume the right, I don't know what else.
They said now you can decide after the child is born.
You got to paint the walls.
What the child's gender is going to be, right? You do know that, don't you?
I did not know that.
No, it doesn't have to. It's not like, oh, he pops out. Oh, he's got a third leg. I guess he's a boy. No, not anymore. Now they give them until I think they're like 5 years old. To like, you know, hey, you know, Bobby, come here. Do you want to be a boy or a girl? What are you talking about, Dad? You know, yeah. So now you get to have a discussion with the kids. It's a new thing. It's part of that whole woke thing going on.
I've heard some wackadoo wokesters do that with the name as well, where the baby gets to choose its own name.
Yeah.
Where when they're 1 year old and still can't think clearly or talk, they'll lay out three names on a note card, and whichever one it crawls to, that's its name forever. So,
oh, it's like a mouse race.
Yeah, so that one ends up being, I don't know, Dyson, probably, because it crawled towards the vacuum cleaner on accident.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Dyson's actually a good name.
It is a good name.
Wow, maybe that. And then if he doesn't like it, they say, wow, this really sucks. And you say, well, it's because your name is Dyson. So anyway, I thought I'd bring that up, you know, just in case, you know, anybody cared. But anyway, so they don't know what the – because here's the thing. I'm going to come back to this because I was going to go on to another subject, but I'm not. We knew what our kids were going to be. Okay, because you do those ultrasound things. Do you know what an ultrasound is?
Yeah, they put some jelly on your belly.
Jelly on the belly. Well, that's what they do that at Applebee's, too, but that's only on Monday night for riblets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but anyway, yeah, they put the jelly on the belly, and then you can tell what the kid is going to be. And you know how they do that, don't you? I mean, you know, I knew that my sons were going to be biological males. And you know how I knew that? Because you could tell that there was something there that a girl doesn't have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, and that it made it very clear, even back 20 years ago when I was stupid, okay, that I knew right away that I was going to have sons. Why is that so difficult for people to do now?
I think there's something in the water with the testosterone levels going too low. We're drinking too much out of plastics, and now everyone's got a little micropenis.
Oh, so everyone has a micropenis now. It's not a matter of you have one or you don't. Just everyone has a micropenis.
Plastic particulates and BPA. This is good enough to be on Arc Midnight with John B. Wells or whatever.
Oh, that's right. You know, I enjoyed being on his show.
You were on his show.
I was on his show, and apparently he enjoyed having me too. Usually, you know, I'll be a guest on shows, and then I'll get a thing from the producer, and I'll say, hey, you know, I thought that went pretty well. Yeah, it did. You know, if we ever need you, we'll call you back in about 40 or 50 years.
You asked for the podcast version so you can share it with your friends. Like, I don't know what happened. We erased the tape. Or there was some sort of magnet got too close. Someone must have done an ultrasound in the studio.
It's just like all my baby pictures going back to the ultrasound. They were all erased even before, like, that stuff was digital. Isn't that something? Yeah. Do you realize, like, back, I mean, it's so easy now. Everybody has all these photos now. See, when I was growing up, like, you know, last year, mm-hmm. I mean, you take a picture, right? And you couldn't do a selfie or know what was going to go on, because then you had to take it to, like, the photo booth. Do you know what the photo booth is? It was like this mm-hmm. little shack, this little, like, hut in the middle of a parking lot. And you give them the film. Okay. This poor little person would have to sit in there all day long. I always felt sorry for him. It's like a toll booth. And then you would have to wait a week for the picture to come back and realize it was horrible. And then you would throw it away. Now, on your phone, you just immediately trash it. You don't understand how convenient we have it now. I mean, it's almost as if I want to go through all of my old photos and just digitally throw them away now, even though there are prints that I can hold in my hand.
Yeah, a couple things about the one-hour photo. I know this from a very close personal contact.
Yes.
But we would always have the disposable cameras back then. And what you could do if you worked in the photo booth, one-hour photo place, is you could just pop those AA batteries out and you could take them home. So you have thousands and thousands of half-used batteries, which is your gift of choice for Christmas.
That is right.
That would have been perfect. And also,
can you do that for me next year?
Yeah, I still have bags of batteries from this person that
I
don't know why. And then if someone brings in a nudie photo, not allowed to give it to them because that is pornography. So you can't develop it and give it to them. You can keep one for yourself.
So you keep them.
But you can't give it to the person. You say, I'm sorry, one of them just didn't turn out. You
got it. And it's on my wall in my bedroom now.
Exactly.
Right. I got you.
You get a collection of nice, gentleman type magazine photos.
There you go. Maybe that's how Hugh Hefner started Playboy. Like, he just, like, maybe worked at a photo booth and kept all the pictures.
I like that.
I'm not really quite sure. Yeah, you know what we did one time? I really shouldn't bring up this story because I was warned to watch what stories I bring up. So this day, okay, well, on this particular day, okay, it was actually a wedding day. These people had left out, like, these instant cameras, right, over the reception. And they said, we can't afford a photographer. So
yes.
Will you all please just make this memory special for us and take pictures with the camera? So you know what happened?
These 1,000 pictures of butts.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly because people and worse. Okay, so you put heavy drinking with an open bar, young guys and stuff like that, and a camera. And let me just say that those wedding photos, I bet you they were confiscated because they were not wedding photos.
They're on someone's wall at the Kmart.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that at my brother's wedding a year ago. People are still buying. That's the only time disposable cameras get bought anymore.
Yeah.
Joke gifts at weddings, basically.
Right.
We took a bunch of serious ones, but you're not a professional photographer, so you don't even know if the lighting's good. And if you're in a dance recital reception hall, none of them are going to turn out, probably.
No, they're not. But then you have the moon is always out because, among other things, on your wall, because that's what all the photos are. You're being mooned.
Mm-hmm. They should just leave them in the bathroom instead of as centerpieces on each person's table. That's where they're going to end up anyway.
You're always full of the best ideas. I'm going to have to write that one down. We got a fun show today. Guess what? My dad's favorite guest, I mean, the one that he only listens to, Rich Rubino's coming on. He's going to talk about these Iowa caucuses that we had that Trump just swept, by the way. I mean, it wasn't even close. I heard that he was one vote away from sweeping the entire thing. Did you hear about that?
I also heard that when some of the votes started coming in at other municipalities or buildings or whatever, that the TV news networks just declared Trump the winner before other people got to vote. So people just left. Other people just didn't even vote in their caucus because the news networks, who are always dying to be first with their lies, declared Trump the winner already.
And then also, they missed the whole part, all the news channels. I mean, when Joe stuck his head out the window and said, "Did I get my 81 million votes yet?"
You're not in this caucus, Joe.
Can I go back to the basement? Yeah, go back to the basement, Joe. You don't have 81 million votes this time, and you didn't the first time either. I guess I shouldn't go down that road. Well, anyway, he's going to be on. And then also, we have a guy named Mike Farmer coming on. He's kind of like a spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually the head guy of my Bible group. A lot of people don't realize that I go to Bible study, and they say, "You?" That's what I tell people. If I'm in Bible study, anybody can go.
They always joke, like, doesn't it get hot in there when you walk in the church? Like,
Like,
I'm a demon and I'd burn up?
Yeah, seriously. I'm a nice, you know, I'm not an altar boy, but
you're a nice guy.
But he's coming on. He's going to talk to us about why we're all going to hell. No, I don't think he's going to do that. Hopefully he's more optimistic. But we got that and maybe Adam Landy coming on in a bit. So it should be a fun show, even though we're in our last experience of January after I cancel it next year. You got anything else to add before we head off?
Good riddance, January. Nobody needs you. I mean, I'm going to miss Martin Luther King Day, I guess.
Oh, that's right. We do have that. You just stay, well, because you have like, is it February is a Black Appreciation Day or something like
that. It's weird that it's not there already.
You just stick it in there. Why not? That way, you know, you have a bigger party. You know, it's the Mardi Gras, Martin Luther King Day, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm full of these ideas, and that's why I'm going to be the next whatever with my party doll running mate.
Yeah, your mom's birthday is there. Fat Tuesday? No, I'm just kidding.
That's... Oh, wow. Sorry, Mom. Joey just made a joke, but I don't think he met my mom.
That was for anyone's mom. You take that joke. That's a street joke. Please, anyone use it.
Take my mom. Please. That's like a Henny Youngman thing, only different. Well, it's going to be a good time. I think we'll have fun. And maybe Mitch will take us out with a little bit of music on the way. In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V. It's The Right Mind Show. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, political trivia savant Rich Rubino on the Iowa and New Hampshire caucuses.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Showalter from The Right Mind Show, along with my buddy Joey V. And, you know, have you ever heard of what a doorbuster sale is? Well, we're not having one, but we do have sales at liberaljoke.com. That's liberaljoke.com, where you can buy all of your favorite offensive items. And you know what? Joey V is our store manager.
Yes, I am in charge of everything. And just so you know, the word sale just means money will be exchanged for goods and services. Nothing will be less money than it was before. And no returns.
No returns at all. So if you hate something, sorry, you're stuck with it. At liberaljoke.com.
If you find that something is ill-fitting, take a picture, send it to us. You may make it on the wall of shame. You will receive no refunds. All sales are final. Terms and conditions might apply.
At liberaljoke.com. Won't you visit us today, please?
Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who takes such good care of his car that he puts the boner in Saab owner, Todd Showalter.
Oh, yeah. And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter along with my buddy Joey V. Mitch in the background. And on the line now is my dad's favorite guy, person, political commentator, you name it. It's Rich Rubino to talk about the caucus. How are you, buddy?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having me on, Todd.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you on because, as I always say, you bring a sense of credibility to the show. So I really appreciate that. Well, we were talking just a second ago. Now, from what I understand, it was almost one vote away. Correct me if I'm wrong. And Donald Trump would have swept the entire Iowa caucus. Is that true?
Yes, that's absolutely true. He was pretty much – he won 50% in all. The rest was split between the other candidates, and that's true. It was Johnson County.
Wow. I mean, has that ever happened before in your political background? I mean, you know all this trivia stuff. That's got to be a first.
Not in a contested primary, no. If it's uncontested and they still have it, for example, an incumbent president, then they would pretty much sweep everything. But other than that, no. Although I do know the only caveat I would say to that would be Tom Harkin in 1992. He was actually from Iowa, so he won 76.4% of the vote. But every other candidate pretty much ceded the state to him because it was his home state.
Okay, what does this actually mean now? I mean, it's the first one. I mean, it's the first one out the gate. They've got other primaries coming up and things. Is this a huge deal? Is this a time for some of the other candidates to maybe drop out, or is there still time for those to maybe pull ahead still?
A couple of them did. Asa Hutchinson immediately dropped out. Vivek Ramaswamy dropped out and immediately endorsed Donald Trump.
Right.
So it's really down now to three major candidates, Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, and Nikki Haley. What it usually does, it's usually a winnowing process, meaning that you determine who the major candidates are. And it's usually the top three candidates that come out of Iowa. There's usually three tickets out of Iowa, and those candidates usually can go on to compete into New Hampshire. Sometimes there'll be a candidate that'll stay on anyways, like Tulsi Gabbard last time around in 2020 stayed around in the Democratic primaries pretty much to the end. But people with legitimate chance of winning are usually the top three. Although I will say in Fred Harris in 1976, he came in fourth place, and he was supposed to come in about seventh or eighth. He said, I've been winnowed in the process, and then he kind of had one up the media and became a major candidate. But it goes to New Hampshire now, and no candidate really, in terms of Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis, garnered any momentum from their appearances. And it appears right now, at least from the polling, that Donald Trump is comfortably ahead of Nikki Haley in New Hampshire. There is one outlier poll that showed the two tied, but most polls are showing Donald Trump comfortably ahead there.
What would happen in the situation, and, you know, if you don't know, just let me know, but it's like they'd still have all these things going on where they're trying to, you know, keep him off the ballot and all this. It's just, it's all craziness in my own opinion. But, I mean, what if he keeps winning and winning and winning and they try to keep him off, does any of this stuff hold any weight?
I think just from a public relations standpoint, his supporters would say that the American people, at least the Republicans, wanted him as their nominee, and then they would say that there's this effort by the Democrats to take him off the ballot. But in terms of the effort, then certainly in Colorado, Maine, now Massachusetts, and some other states, they're looking at the 14th Amendment insurrection clause, and they would say that he violated that. In the case of Maine, it was a Democratic Secretary of State that made that decision. In the case of Colorado, it was the High Court of Colorado. But I don't think it's necessarily going to weigh in on what the Supreme Court decides. And my guess is that the Supreme Court, very conservative Supreme Court, will pretty much decide along party lines that he is eligible.
We're definitely on track for probably a very historic election season. I mean, yes. Certainly one that I've probably never experienced. But what do you think we can look for? Is there anything even close that we could say, oh, okay, this is sort of resembles 1984 or whatever? I mean, are there anything from your past and things that you know just from studying this kind of stuff, is there anything that would even come close to what we're about to experience here? Because it looks like, it almost feels like we're getting ready for a storm.
Yes, and I guess 1968 would be the closest example. That was during the Vietnam War, the race riots. Lyndon Johnson, after barely winning New Hampshire, announced he wouldn't seek re-election. Eventually, Hubert Humphrey wins the nomination. He didn't announce till April 27th of that year for the Democratic Party. Eugene McCarthy would win a lot of the primaries. Many of his supporters landed up protesting in Chicago at Grant Park in front of the Democratic National Convention. And consequently, that led to Richard Nixon's election because the Democratic Party was so disunified. And then just like this time around, you had a third party candidate. That time it was former Alabama Governor George Wallace, who did relatively well for a third party candidate. And during the summer of much of that year, the fall up through October, he was in the 20. He was at about 20%. He eventually landed up winning only 39 electoral votes, all of them coming 46, rather, all of them coming from the South. And the only non-Southern state, I guess, would be Arkansas, which is kind of the outer South, if you will. But that's probably the closest in terms of the idea of having a former president versus incumbent president. That's only happened once, and that was in 1892. And that was because, if you go back to history, Grover Cleveland gets elected president in 1884, 1888, just like last time, extremely close election. Cleveland, actually, the incumbent president, actually won in the popular vote but lost in the Electoral College to Benjamin Harrison. Benjamin Harrison becomes relatively unpopular, barely wins his own party's nomination. And in 1892, Grover Cleveland comes back, actually runs for the Democratic nomination. Just like this time around, there was a contested Democratic nomination. Just like with Trump, he defeated David Hill, who was his former lieutenant governor, who was governor of New York. And then the guy who succeeded him as governor of New York, they had a falling out. He won the nomination, and then he ended up upending Benjamin Harrison. So Donald Trump, I think would use that as the one precedent for a former president coming back and beating his successor.
Okay, well, like moving forward, as far as like how this caucus works now. So if Donald Trump, he wins the caucus handily, and does that mean he has all the delegates? I mean, are they obligated? I mean, he has those delegates in for Iowa. I mean, so when you do the primaries, is it the same kind of thing?
No, actually, it's proportional. Some states are proportional, and some states are winner take all. In the case of Iowa, they're proportional. So the other candidates actually did garner some delegates. Even Vivek Ramaswamy won about 8%. Got some delegates, and statistically it's irrelevant because these are very small states and they're about less than 2% of the ultimate delegates. It's more or less showing that you have the ability to come in first, second, or third. How much you win in the actual delegate count is so irrelevant, and it's going to be very relevant in New Hampshire as well. The states that actually matter in terms of warring delegates are going to be big states like California, Texas, and Ohio. And most states, by the way, are winner-take-all. The Trump campaign, at least in many republics, the infrastructure in many of the states is controlled by people who are sympathetic to Donald Trump, and they know that if the state is winner take all, meaning you win one more vote than the other guy, you get every solitary delegate, those states are more likely to be for Donald Trump. Donald Trump has a better chance of that because there's in every state there's about 40% of the Republican primary voters that would not leave him for just about any reason. So all he needs to do is win 40% of the vote. If you go look at last time, for example, in 2020, he didn't win 50% of the vote among primary voters. He won about 44%. But because a lot of those states were winner take all, he won every single delegate. But it's more about public relations than it is about the actual delegate count.
Okay, well, looking ahead now to New Hampshire, what can we expect from that? I mean, we have these same, basically the three, correct? We have Nikki Haley,
yep.
We've got Trump, and we have DeSantis. I mean, what should we be on the lookout for?
I think there's one thing in terms of Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley needs to have some sort of a win to get momentum. It's really hard to see a scenario where she can win New Hampshire, although I will say New Hampshire is somewhat tailor-made for her. The polls are showing showing that it's pretty grim for her. But a state like this, about 45%, because they have what's called an open primary, meaning that independents can come and vote for the Republicans. And on the Democratic side, there's very little action, so they have more of a chance of voting for Republicans. So they could go on and vote for Nikki Haley and put her over the top. That's how John McCain won New Hampshire by 17 points in 2000. The problem, though, and the problem that John McCain had last time around, is South Carolina comes next. And South Carolina, in John McCain's case, it was a firewall for George W. Bush, and he eventually garnered the nomination. And this year around, Nikki Haley, even though it's her home state, she's losing by about 30 points. And you got to ask the question then, if she's already losing her home state with the voters who know her best by 30 points, even if she wins New Hampshire, even if she gets a lot of momentum out of New Hampshire, where is that 30 points? How is she going to make up that difference? And if you can't win your home state, how do you then go to benefactors who are going to donate to your campaign and say, well, I want you to donate, and we're going to beat Donald Trump, we're going to win the nomination? They'll say, well, you didn't win your home state. What state are you going to actually win? Jerry Brown in 1992 lost California to Bill Clinton. After that, he was effectively dead as a doornail in that race. Same with Marco Rubio in 2016 to Donald Trump. And last time around in 2020, Elizabeth Warren came in third in Massachusetts behind Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, respectively. So it's really hard to see a scenario, but certainly there is a possibility. There is a window where she could actually win New Hampshire. But even if she does, it's hard to see how she actually wins South Carolina or any other states.
Yeah, okay, let's flip the page now. Let's take a look at the Democrat side. I mean, is Joe Biden, is he pretty much, I mean, is that all we've got? Or is there going to be anybody you think at this point? You think Gavin Newsom's going to come into it? I mean, I've heard, some people say, well, I haven't really announced yet. Are there still people out there that may actually take him on the Democrat side and, make it a battle as far as the Democrats are concerned?
Well, there are candidates who are running against him. Dean Phillips, congressman from Minnesota, who literally went to a town hall meeting in New Hampshire, and the gaggle of reporters were there, and literally nobody showed up. So,
right. I haven't heard of him. Yeah,
he's literally sitting there. The media is all there waiting for people, and nobody shows up for his rally. Happened. And then Marianne Williamson is running against him as well, but I don't think there are people who are considered formidable. I mean, Joe Biden already has organization. He's got offices in Wilmington, Delaware. He's got an entire. I mean, if he were just as kind of a stalking horse or didn't know whether he would run, I don't think he would go so far as to set this all up. I think that in terms of Gavin Newsom's been very supportive of Joe Biden. I think he knows that if he were to challenge him, this is true for any other major Democrat, and then Joe Biden were to lose the general election, a lot of Democrats would blame that person, saying you divided the party, and that's the reason we lost the election. So I think they're trying to be good. They're trying to be very loyal, fidelitous little Democrats right now, waiting. And then if they want to run in 2028, they wouldn't be blamed for the loss in 2024. If something does happen to Joe Biden, it would probably something health-wise, for example, that he could not run. Then there would be a litany of potential candidates, and Gavin Newsom is certainly one. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, would be another, I would think. I would think Roy Cooper, the governor of North Carolina, would be another one. I think Cory Booker, senator from New Jersey, would be another one. You can go through a whole long litany, and these are all people that are just pretty impatiently waiting for 2028. But my supposition is that Joe Biden is definitely going to run. He's pretty much going to run up the score, getting the nomination, and there won't be any contest against him at the convention, barring some sort of a cataclysm health-wise.
Now, what if that is the case, and he's definitely the shoo-in for the Democratic nomination, what type of platform do you run on?
I think his platform is going to be, he's owned Bidenomics, first of all. He says we've created 13 million new jobs. He talks about reducing the deficit. And people would say, well, what about the debt? He's reduced the deficit, which is the annual, how much yearly, the yearly amount of debt of how much the country owes. I mean, it, eventually you have to, once you balance the budget, then it goes into the debt. So it's going to be a difference between the deficit and the debt. But he'll say, I've created 13 million new jobs. He'll say, I took the country out of COVID. He'll say that I passed the CHIPS Act. I passed, he'll say, I got the CHIPS Act passed. He'll say, I got the Inflation Reduction Act. And he'll try to highlight, which is what he's doing right now. He's going all over the country trying to highlight specific parts that are very popular, of that. And he will basically say that the economy is recovering from where it was. And he would also say that Donald Trump or his administration had lost, was just like Herbert Hoover. He's already used the word Herbert Hoover has lost, actually lost jobs. Trump will come back and say that was because of the COVID virus. But that's basically what his platform is going to be. And you don't know what the state of the economy is going to be in August or September. Another thing he will say is he'll say that something to the effect of, many economists thought we would be in recession now, but it looks like we're going through a soft landing, getting out of inflation without a recession like we did in 1980, like what happened in 1981, 82, when we got out of a recession, but we got out of inflation. But in order to do that, we had about 11% unemployment, the most since the Great Depression. That's basically what his argument is going to be. And then Donald Trump, assuming he's the Republican nominee, will come back and say that the economy was essentially actually better under his administration. And that's where the battle royale is going to be. But the wild card is the third party candidates. Again, first of all, on his left, Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, now Cornel West, the independent candidate, are going to be siphoning votes off from the left of Joe Biden. Some of those people who would not vote anyways. But theoretically, if they're going to vote, if they would have voted for any major candidate, it would be Joe Biden. And just like last time around, John Anderson ran as a moderate. You're probably going to have a no labels party candidate who's going to be very much of a centrist candidate. And the question is, who will that take from? My guess right now is that would take more votes from Joe Biden than from Donald Trump, because what they're doing is they're giving an avenue for people who would never vote for Donald Trump or dissatisfied with Joe Biden to vote for somebody other than Joe Biden.
You know, bringing up real quick here, you brought up the No Labels group. I've contacted that group. I've tried to get in touch with them. I've tried to have somebody from their organization come on the show. I've tried to have even maybe a possible candidate come on the show. And it's always like I just get this guy, yeah, well, you know, if you send an email and we wanted to, we'll get back to you. It's just, do you know anything about that group? Because it just doesn't seem very tightly run. I mean, it's almost like, oh, yeah, well, my mom's not here right now, and maybe later. And I'm like, who is this? And it's like, you know, is this really an organization? I go to their website. It looks official and stuff. But I can't get anything even remotely. Nobody will return any of my messages. But, I mean, do you know anything about this group?
Yes, and that's really interesting you said that, because that's a stereotype of the group that they take. For one thing, they don't reveal who the donors are. And they don't have to legally, but they're not revealing who their donors are. So people think it's what's called dark money, meaning that people are giving money to this organization and nobody knows who they are. And it's interesting that it makes them appear that they are very much dark, if they're not actually returning your phone calls. So you would think that they would. Part of it is when you ask them who their nominee is going to be, they're going to have a convention. They don't actually give names of potential candidates. So the candidate most people think about immediately that says he would consider it, that's very much supportive of no labels, is Democratic Senator who's retiring, Joe Manchin of West Virginia. That's the name you hear often. He's actually doing a tour around the country to quote unquote mobilize the middle and determine whether there's an avenue for him. Other potential candidates would be Republican governor, former Republican governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan. They say, by the way, that whoever the ticket's going to be, it's probably going to be a Republican and a Democrat. Meaning that they're going to try to, and this is the same thing John Anderson did in 1980. Anderson was a Republican. He chose Patrick Lucey, the governor of former governor of Wisconsin, as his running mate. So they're going to try to do some sort of a unified ticket. A lot of it has been media speculation. People say, well, what about this person? What about this person? What about this person? But they're really kind of dark. There's kind of a sketchy look to it right now about how they're just so surreptitious, and you think that they would. If you have a message and this is the election, you would think that they would do everything they can to certainly talk to anybody that potentially they can get their message out and get publicity, but they don't seem to want to do that. And that's why I think a lot of people are very incredulous toward what their actual objective is.
Yeah, well, I certainly am. I mean, they're not going to get my support just because I've tried several times. You know, you get somebody on, they won't answer my call. They say, well, how'd you get this number? It's like, what? I mean, it's like, what? I was like, I thought you were an organization. You know, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not a solicitor. It's crazy. Yeah, well,
maybe they just get a lot of telemarketers over there. So
I have no idea, but they ought to change their name to the no comment group or something. I'm not really sure. But
I think you're starting to label them now.
Yeah, I think I am, but it's my show. I can do that every once in a while. Well, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. I look forward to having you on many more times as we get closer and closer to the election and primaries and all this other good stuff. You got any final words before we catch you next time?
No, just that it's going to be, as you said, it's going to be the most fascinating election, I think, probably since 1968. And I can honestly say I have no idea how it's going to come out. There are so many variables in this and the third parties. In terms of which third party is going to run, where their support is going to come from. It's just one of those elections that usually you have some sort of a semblance or a prediction of what's going to happen this year. I really have no idea.
All right. Well, that makes two of us. So we'll look forward forward to your opinion, though, next time. Thank you very much, my friend. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Will do. Thank you so much.
All right. That's Rich Rubino, Joey. I mean, he's always very insightful, and he has so much information to share. And like I always say, he adds credibility to the group. Well, you know what? When we come back, we're going to be talking to our buddy Mike Farmer, the spiritual leader. It's going to be a good time. We're going to find out where we're all ending up. Well, maybe not that much, but where are you ending up, Joey?
Probably purgatory. I'm a flip flopper. Yeah. I couldn't even decide what word to say just now.
Flip flopper, flummoxton.
Yeah,
we're gonna find out. Yeah, maybe he'll tell us. Maybe not. Well, when we come back, we'll find out for all of us. Maybe I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V, and we got Mitch in the background. It's the Right Mind Show, and we'll be right back.
Coming up next on the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, spiritual leader Mike Farmer asks why it's so taboo to talk about religion out in public. Welcome back to the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who only wears his formal swimming trunks when in the baptism pool at church, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V. Mitch in the background doing, what is he doing? Is he doing any songs for us today or not? He hasn't done one dang thing today.
He's a little early because we got rid of January. He's doing second line music for Mardi Gras.
Oh, I get you.
And second line usually means someone died. It's very ominous.
Oh, that is something. We'll have to check into that later. Oh, and also we have our guest in here, spiritual leader Mike Farmer. Say hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
From Bible study. And people don't believe I actually go to a Bible study, Joey. Can you believe it? But he's actually here to actually back me up. Mike Farmer.
Never met you.
No, he never has because I pay him to say, hey, say I go to Bible study. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
And you're very well prepared. You brought notes and everything. See, Joey and I, we just usually wing it, don't we, Joey?
He must be affiliated with the PowerPoint people because this is an incredible presentation.
It really is. He has graphics.
Didn't go much on the graphics, though.
Cartoons or everything? No, I don't see any.
No, cartoons. You're the cartoon king.
Well, you know, I don't know about the king. Yeah, it depends. I mean, king, queen, that's all. It's all arbitrary now, isn't it?
We'll decide after the birth.
We'll figure that out later. How are you, my friend? Now, you have a lot of stuff you want to talk about. Now, there's a lot of spiritual things. You were talking about Christianity. Just jump on in. What are some of the things you want to hit upon? Because you have bullet lists. You have all kinds of things. You have graphs. You have pie charts. Go ahead.
I love pie. You and I talked, and you invited me on the show at some point in time, and it was, what do we want to talk about? And, you know, I'm passionate about religion. And so I thought, well, you know, if I got some time to talk about religion, what would I talk about? And so I mapped out a couple of points. And one of the things that's always interesting to me is why religion in the public space is such a lightning rod, right? And so I did a little statistical research.
Okay.
52% of the world's population professes a belief in God.
Okay.
Right? So that's a lot. So, you know, half or over half. My math's not that good. And so why is it that it seems like the vocal majority are people that are like, why does this guy have to talk about his belief in God. And I specifically point to a couple of things currently in the news. One is C.J. Stroud, quarterback for Houston.
Right, exactly. Right?
So he's been starting every interview now that he's become kind of famous with, hey, I'd like to, before we start, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, and tells a little bit about why. It goes back to the Kurt Warner days, right?
Right.
The First and Foremost Foundation. And there always seems to be a lot of pushback from that as to why does this guy have to share his faith with me. But I thought about it, and it's like, well, let's go back to Colin Kaepernick, you know, taking his knee. Let's go to Megan Rapinoe and, you know, and her opposite view. And there doesn't seem to be as much clamor about them using their platform for political things.
Well, you know what? You're hitting on something that I've talked about several times, and that's what I really believe, that we are in the middle of a spiritual war right now. I think you have people in the media, well, I'd say the majority of the media, you have a lot of the left that, you know, they push almost an evil agenda, that anything that even Christ-like, God-like, anything that you even bring up in that realm is almost like, it reminds me of the vampire movies where they start hissing and getting all upset. I think it's time, in my opinion, that we need to, you know, bring God more into more things that we're doing, whether it be our schools, maybe it be our workplace, because I think that's what we're missing right now. I mean, you have all this hedonistic stuff going on, and I'm not, you know, by any means, you know, goody two shoes. But I mean, the stuff that's going on, I think that's what we're missing. And I think it's time for us to start pushing back and bringing that more to the forefront. What do you think?
Amen. Amen. I absolutely agree. I think, but as you know, there's different types of religion, of course. So, you know, the major religions are Islam, Christianity, and then what's the third major religion?
Judaism.
Judaism. Thank you very much. Sure. I should know that. That's
quite
in the news.
That was from the test you gave the other night. Sorry about that.
So you've got those the world's three major religions, and you know, I think people are just afraid to speak their spirituality, particularly in the public square, because of the pushback that you're going to get. With that, so I was honestly surprised when you said, "Hey, let's talk about religion on the show."
I think you should, because I think one of the connotations that people have, you know, if you say you're born again or you're a Christian, I mean, they think you're like almost like Flanders from Simpsons. We were talking about the Simpsons earlier, and like we're some mealy mouth, you know, a weak
neighbor.
Yeah, hi there, neighbor. It's you know, that type of thing, and it's really not. I mean, we're strong, funny people that that we have our convictions. We definitely have our sin. You know, we're sinners. I mean, I know I have you know, more sins than probably anybody. I won't go that far. But you know, yeah, we'll talk about that later. But I mean, it's not. I mean, I think it's time that we kind of break that image and show that we're out there to fight just like anybody else. And it's our belief in God, in Jesus, in Christianity, spirituality is just as important as anybody else's beliefs. And we're going to stand for it. And if you don't like it, well, then, you know, it's not. We allow you to have your opinion. Like you mentioned Rapinoe. You mentioned Kaepernick. I mean, we're just supposed to, you know, stand back and take that. Otherwise, we get labeled as, you know, different names, like, you know, oh, you're a racist or you're that. And I think it's time that we just stop, you know, being, you know, taking the names calling and even caring about it and standing up for what we believe, because it is a fight.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting to me. I didn't realize. So I wanted to do a little research to see how many people are Christian. And so, you know, I went out to the World Wide Web.
Sure. Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah,
the internet
you've heard
thing.
Of that? Yeah. And anyway, so I was doing some research. And so, yeah, 52% of the people in the world, there's 8 billion people in the world,
okay,
give or take two or three, and 52% of them profess a belief in God. And of that, 2.6 billion people, or 32% of them, are Christian. 1.8 billion, or 22%. Profess faith in Allah, Islam, and then the Jewish population is only 0.2%, which is a smaller, you know,
sure, right,
smaller group. But so you've got all these people in here that believe in some sort of God, but I wonder how many people actually know what they believe in. Right, you're born into a Catholic family, you're born into a Protestant family, an Islam family, and you grow up, and this is the way it is, and these are the rules that you kind of learn. But at what point in time does somebody actually explore their faith?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is something that we're doing in our Bible study is we're, right, you know, we're looking at it. It's okay, I believe in the resurrection of Christ. Why? You know, I believe in the end times. Why? And I wish more people would actually do that. And we as a human society, we want to evolve, right? So, you know, evolving is meaning we want to be learning. And so how do you learn from something you don't know other than listening to somebody that you don't know or somebody that you may not agree with?
Well, on another note, now you've got quite the back. See, just to prove that you're not, you know, like a mealy Christian, you know, get in your face church lady type. Mike, you've got a band. You're in the incentive business. You've been to over 88 countries, I believe. I mean, you've got quite a background yourself on the professional side. Anything you want to touch base on that?
Well, you know, if we stay on the topic of religion, I would simply say, you know, in the 88 countries of the world that I've been to, three kind of stand out to me that are really intimidating when it comes to religion. First one was being China. I've been to a few cities in China, and not only just religion, but even talk of government and things like that. The younger people that I traveled with. Were just if I would ask anything about politics, crime, or anything like that, they at one point in time they sent me a text. I was sitting next to a woman in the back seat of a car as we were driving to an appointment, and I had asked her a question about crime, and she sent me a text which said, "We can't talk about this. I don't know the driver." And finally, later on at lunch, we were kind of alone, and I'd asked her what she meant by that. And she said, there are people all over here that would report me if I were to say something negative.
Wow.
You know, and it's like, holy cow. And I said, hey, I'm open. You could ask me whatever question you want about our country. And she said, is it truly like the Wild West where, you know, where you live, where everybody's walking around with guns and shooting each other? And I did have to take a step back and say, well, maybe not that we don't have tumbleweeds. But no, I said, it's not that bad. But yes, you know, there is a lot of crime. And when I asked her, I said, you live in a what we would call a county. She lives in an area that has like 3 million people in it. And I said, certainly you guys have crime. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, certainly somebody was murdered, you know, somebody had their bike stolen, whatever. And she said, well, how would I know? And I said, from the news? And she just kind of looked at me like, no, those things don't get reported.
Just propaganda, and that's kind of what we're becoming now.
Yeah, that's a fear. It really is.
And that's just it. That's why, you know, we have to appreciate all that we have as Americans, and we got to keep that. I mean, whether it's religion, whether it's patriotism, conservatism, I mean, we got to fight for that. And
right.
It's time for people to stand up and use their voice and, you know, let them know that they need to be heard. Well, Mike, any final words before we cut out for the day here?
Yeah, I want to encourage listeners, you know, if you feel that hunger, that spiritual hunger, and you don't know how to answer it, just look. Just close your eyes at night when you put your head on the pillow and just say, God, I don't know you. I don't understand you. Please come into my life. And then just follow the prompts, you know, find a church, find somebody that you can trust and respect. And, you know, it's a lifetime of joy as you go explore that.
Mike Farmer with us, spiritual leader, among other things. Guess who we have on the line right now? From the Love Tube submarine himself, it's Admiral Andy. Andy, how are you, my friend? Anything you want to add today that you didn't get off your chest or head or whatever last week? So what's going on in your love world today?
My love world?
Well, I call it the love tunnel. The love tunnel. And so I assume if you're in the love tunnel, you're doing loving things in there, correct?
Well, now I'm confused. Is it the love tunnel or the love tube?
It's whatever you want. You're the admiral. You know, you can identify as a tube. You can identify as whatever you want, a tunnel.
I will go with neither.
Gotcha.
Actually, you know, I speaking of identification.
Yes.
May or may not have made a liberal's head explode last week asking a simple question. We were talking about pizza.
Right.
And we were talking about, you remember back in the day when we went to like middle school and high school and had the square pizzas?
Nope. I skipped that all together. I went from kindergarten to college. That was it. I said, I don't need any of this. And yes, go ahead. Anyway.
So we were talking about square pizzas, and I mentioned the fact that you can go to the grocery store and get a Tostino's pizza. It's almost like back in the day.
Yeah.
And the lady says, well, you know, you'll have to cut it into triangles. I said, it's a rectangle. She goes, no, it's a square. I said, define square. Then I asked, define rectangle. And she tried to define it. And then I said, well, what if the square identifies as a triangle. Center head about exploded.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good because, you know, geometry and shapes and things like that. Colors really get the liberals upset, too.
French bread pizza was shaped like a boat. I don't know if you remember that. French bread pizza. We called it boat pizza.
Oh, so yeah. He's an admiral, so. Yeah.
He is an admiral. Yeah.
Go on. Sorry to interrupt.
Is that all you got for us today? Is that pretty much
it? Yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Hey, okay. Check out Nothing's Off the Table every Friday at 8:30.
Okay, well, we're going to let everybody know. And if I tell you what, and if you can't find Anything's Off the Table with Admiral
Something's
Andy,
Off the Table. Get it right.
Something's Off the Table.
Nothing's just off
Dave
the
Matthews
table.
Band, Under the Table and Dreaming with Admiral Andy.
Oh, that's right. Or, you know, Andy in the Love Tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that, too. It could be. Okay, well, next time we'll look forward to it. Thanks for being on the show again, buddy.
We'll
don't do anything I wouldn't do, at least.
I think
if you
his
do.
Head is just exploding right now.
His head is exploding. That's that spiritual Mike. He's our spiritual leader. We'll have a good time. Mike, you have a good time?
I had a great time.
Oh, that's great. He hasn't been here the whole time. He was actually out waiting for us, and nobody ever waits for us.
They don't play it out in the lobby.
They don't play it out. That's because it's our show. They don't want to play. They say, oh, it's Todd and Joey.
You're being suppressed.
Too hot for weekdays.
You're right.
Who do I write? I need to write somebody.
Just yell out the door here to say, is Jeff or Joe here? They're like the owners, and say, I want to. And Larry's back there, too. We'll go say hi to him.
Usually they print off a transcript for you to read the show in the lobby. It's the quiet zone, like it's the library.
Something like that. Yeah, that's what we got to do. Yeah, we'll do that next time. Well, in the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V, Mitch in the background, who was not talking to us today. And we got Mike, who's also very spiritual, sitting to my left.
Man of the cloth.
That's what it's going to be. He doesn't realize. This is the Right Mind Show, and like I always say, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. Till next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. To find out about all things Todd, go to studiotodd.com. We will see you next Saturday night at 5 p.m. right here on 101.9, 94.1 News Talk STL, and always streaming online at newstalkstl.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Showalter from The Right Mind Show, along with my buddy Joey V. And, you know, have you ever heard of what a doorbuster sale is? Well, we're not having one, but we do have sales at liberaljoke.com. That's liberaljoke.com, where you can buy all of your favorite offensive items. And you know what? Joey V is our store manager.
Yes, I am in charge of everything. And just so you know, the word sale just means money will be exchanged for goods and services. Nothing will be less money than it was before. And no returns.
No returns at all. So if you hate something, sorry, you're stuck with it. At liberaljoke.com.
If you find that something is ill-fitting, take a picture, send it to us. You may make it on the wall of shame. You will receive no refunds. All sales are final. Terms and conditions might apply.
At liberaljoke.com. Won't you visit us today, please?